what you be thinking. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my God, to my Lord. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand.
Until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, I let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter, and you other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call.
And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. For then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer.
And yeah, why don't you go ahead and finish that chapter, Allison?
Okay. Everyone was filled with awe.
Mm-hmm.
And many wonders and miracles. Signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and
sincere
hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Okay. All right.
Whenever I read praising God, I was thinking in my head praising God and saying the song.
Holy, holy, holy.
Yeah.
Ah, there you go. Got some of the liturgy stuck in your head. That's never a bad thing. So Emmett, we're going over lesson 12 right now, I'm going to try and get through lesson 13 today also, but we'll see how it goes. All right, so first question. Well, first off, in one sentence or in your own words, just saying it to me right now, what's going on? What's this text all about?
The day of Pentecost.
Yes. The day of Pentecost, right.
It says it in the question.
It does. I basically give you these answers. In phrases, but, you know, just trying to see if you're clever enough to just, you know, take it from there, you know? All right, so, talking about Pentecost. So, first of all, in your own words, what is Pentecost? What happened at Pentecost?
People were waiting for Jesus to come and
something. Yeah, people were waiting for Jesus, right? And so... The meaning of what Pentecost is?
Yeah, I looked it up on Google just a little bit ago.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see what Gavin's got.
Peter baptized more than 3,000 souls.
Yeah, he did, right? That's what resulted out of Pentecost. But what? Let me ask it this way. Whenever we say in the church, whenever we celebrate... So if we celebrate Christmas, what are we celebrating?
Jesus' birth.
We're celebrating Easter. What are we celebrating?
Is
resurrection. Whenever we're celebrating Pentecost, what are we celebrating?
Isn't it like the time between Jesus' death and resurrection or something?
Well, no, not necessarily, because by the time Pentecost comes around, Jesus has already ascended after heaven. So
are we mourning Jesus' ascension or something?
Not mourning.
Not being joyful of Jesus. Okay. And this is
the same. Let's think about it this way.
Can I?
Here, let's see. What do you got?
Let me get to it.
If you're Googling it, I'm gonna go over to Emmett real quick. Okay.
I heard somewhere that it was like a big festival in Jerusalem.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
And so that's, all the different tribes came together to it.
Yep. So that's how it starts. That's the context, right? So there was a Jewish festival called Pentecost, which now Pentecost becomes a Christian holiday, which is kind of neat. But you're right. You have all these different people who are there. And I'm going to give you a map so you can visualize it.
I know where Jerusalem is. We learned about it in geography recently.
All right, so take a look at this map. All right, so you see Jerusalem there.
Tons of fire.
In the middle where all those arrows are pointed towards.
Why is there flame?
Because they thought that was the center of the world back then.
Well, not necessarily. Rome was actually more the center of the world back then because Rome owned everything.
Rome's over here.
Where's America at?
It's not in this picture.
All right. So you see Jerusalem. You see all those other cities that are in the red with the white text. They're from all over the place, right? So if you see how they're all over the place, do you think they all speak the same language?
No, not even close.
No. Right? They probably speak different languages. I mean, they kind of speak Greek a little bit, but. Ultimately, they don't understand each other whenever they speak because they all speak different languages. So Pentecost, what does it say in the beginning of this text? What happened at Pentecost?
That the Holy Spirit came down and made fire.
Yeah, Holy Spirit came down as fire on people's heads, and then people start preaching in all these different languages that they didn't know. Right, so. There are people at Pentecost that are from all these different regions. And then you have the 12 disciples start preaching in languages that all these people from all these different languages can understand. Make sense? Okay. All right. So that's Pentecost in a nutshell. Right? Holy Spirit comes and starts... Well, one second. Let's back up to what did we study before this about the Holy Spirit? What did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit?
That it is his messenger.
That it's his messenger, right? That where he'll send the Holy Spirit to help us in our knowledge of God, because our knowledge is incomplete about God, really. And so whenever the Holy Spirit comes, then it's like everything that Jesus had taught his disciples, like, comes to their memory and they start preaching it. Right? So it's a pretty miraculous thing that happened at Pentecost.
Maybe that's true.
You may. All right, what did you have for... Let's see what Google has to say. Let's see if Google's smarter than me. I doubt it.
Okay, it says the Christian festival celebrating the descendants of the Holy Spirit on the disciples of Jesus after his ascension, held on the seventh Sunday after Easter.
That pretty much covers it.
Yeah.
It's not after. It's not Pentecost.
Oh no, Pentecost is 50 days after Easter. Well, technically 49, but you get the point. So first question. We'll go in a circle. Gavin.
No, I really want to do, why did the Holy Spirit come upon them with the signs of a sound like the rushing?
Well, we'll come back to you on that one if the person needs some help, okay? So answer number one for now.
Devout men from every nation... They were in the house in Jerusalem.
Yeah, and the disciples. So the disciples were in the house in Jerusalem. It says they were in the upper room. If you remember it from the Gospels, what else happened in an upper room? Jesus would have been there.
The Holy Supper.
Yeah, the Holy Supper, the Last Supper. You're exactly right.
So are we still on number one?
Yeah, we're on number one.
Okay, what is it?
So the disciples were gathered in the upper room in Jerusalem. So basically the disciples, and then devout Jews who were in town for Pentecost. The disciples
were... Pentecost, they gathered in the upper room.
Where were they gathered?
The disciples gathered in the upper room.
Yeah, they were gathered in the upper room for Pentecost.
So I put the day of Pentecost, the period.
That's good.
They gathered in the upper room.
That's good. All right. So question number two, we'll come back to you. What's your answer for number two? Why were they waiting in Jerusalem? Yeah, they were waiting for the promised Holy Spirit, right? Christ promised them that he would send the Holy Spirit, and they're awaiting the Holy Spirit. And we also know from Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says, so why were they in Jerusalem? Chapter 1, verse 4 says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, Jesus gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about, talking about the Holy Spirit. So basically, wait for the promised Holy Spirit, because Jesus said so, right?
So what do we put on number two?
Said, just say, because Jesus told them to. And you can also put...
I put for the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, waiting for the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus told them they were going to receive it.
Esther, I have a question.
Okay.
Is it better to have, like, this type of Bible or a Bible on your phone?
Well, you know, here's the thing. I think this type of Bible, because whenever you get on your phone, not to say that it's bad. You can I use my Bible on my phone sometimes just to look up a verse or two. But if I'm going to start reading it and like really reading it, I would rather have this just because, well, if someone texts me or calls me or something like that, I can just put it aside.
I have the Bible app and I get a verse every day. I tried to read that verse every day.
Yeah, so it's good for like, you know, stuff like that. Like get a verse or two here and there. But if you're really going to read it, I would recommend a...
Mom only lets me read Genesis.
Genesis. All right, well, we can talk about that after class. Okay. All right, next question. Why did the Holy Spirit come upon them with the signs of sounds like mighty rushing wind, tongues of fire, resting upon their heads, speaking with other tongues? Do you have any clue?
No, sir.
All right, what did you get, okay, Gavin?
Because the Holy Spirit is portrayed as the dove, so they fly. So, you know, the wind.
Okay.
The fire, because during the Tower of Babel... where everyone's language was changed, God like used fire to change the language or something like that.
Well, he didn't. You're absolutely right with every conclusion you had, but how you got to those conclusions was wrong. So there is an association between the wind and the Holy Spirit. Because the same Greek and Hebrew words that's like the Greek word for wind is the same Greek word for spirit. Pneuma is the word. And so whenever there's this wind, we're reminded of how else, you know, the breath of God, the wind of God, you might say, how else the Holy Spirit accompanies that. So we think of Genesis 2, verse 7. Whenever God breathed breath of life into the nostrils of man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. God breathed the breath of life into the man. Yeah. And then John chapter 3, verse 8, the wind blows wherever it wishes. You cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. And so everyone is born of the Spirit. So we have that. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture itself is God-breathed. So we have this. So here's the answer for that one. The Word of God and Spirit. So the Word of God and Holy Spirit. Now, there's no other spirit than the Holy Spirit that I'm going to talk about, unless it's evil spirits, but we're not going to go there. The Word of God and Holy Spirit go together. Yeah.
The answers, can I just, for the one we are going over, can I just put to show that God is now with the apostles? Or should I erase that in the
place? No, that's good. No, that's good. But put something in there about how the Spirit, just put Spirit/wind to show that those two things go together.
Is that it? The Word of God is Holy Spirit together?
And Holy Spirit/wind, I guess you could say, go together.
Why are all those pictures taken down?
Because we're going to organize them in a much nicer, neater way up here instead of all over the place.
Yeah, we organized them on the wall.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did
you?
I don't doubt
Wanda
that.
Was there
it is
too.
Pretty hard.
I bet it was.
Wanda.
Yeah, we're going to try and get them more. We're going to try and have like a specific wall with pictures here. We're going to try and have a specific wall for like our kids' crafts and stuff we work on at Sunday school.
And we had to put the nails in, find the studs and everything.
Oh yeah.
Hard.
Yeah. All right. So next thing. So the tongues of fire. Yeah.
So on the tongues of fire, I have like so everyone would understand it because
Right. So that definitely accompanies it. And I guess what I'm looking for here is why did the Holy Spirit come in this way? And so for that we gotta talk about other places in Scripture which talk about it coming in this way.
Yeah, I don't read all of the Bible.
Well, and this is where, all right, so write this down. Matthew.
Where? Three? Still?
Yes.
No room on three.
Matthew 3:11-12. So that goes with the tongues of fire.
How do you spell tongues?
T-O-N-G-U-E-S.
T-O-N-G.
Yeah, it's in the question.
What?
So what this says is that he will baptize you, meaning this is John the Baptist talking. He says, Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. What does that sound like?
I thought it was water.
Well, he does baptize with water, but John's talking about he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, which sounds like?
Can you say it one more time?
It sounds like dehydration to me.
Death.
He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire.
I want to say something, but I don't want it to go... I'm thinking the devil, but it's probably not.
No, but...
I'm thinking dehydrator.
Holy Spirit and fire. Okay, what event does that sound like that we're studying right now?
The tongues of fire.
As we said.
Tongues of fire. Pentecost. It sounds like Pentecost, doesn't it? He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire.
Fire, I'm thinking of Ash Wednesday. You have to burn the palms.
Well, I guess that's kind of true, but really. But that's not the right answer, though.
Because my thing was from nowhere remotely close.
But you're right. You're right about the Tower of Babel. That goes with the other tongues. So for other tongues, for that part. So whenever we talk about other tongues, tongues in the Greek actually means languages, so they were speaking real languages. Okay, so it's like if I just all of a sudden start speaking Spanish
or...
Yeah, that's why.
Portuguese.
Yeah. Right, something like that. So, the other languages is a reversal of Tower of Babel. Okay, how is that a reversal of Tower of Babel?
Because God changed the languages, so he changed them back.
Yeah, so man had one language at the Tower of Babel, and what were they doing?
They were building a tower to heaven.
They were building a tower to heaven. Did God like that?
No, he stopped them so they wouldn't die in space.
No, yeah, exactly. He hated it. But it wasn't because they wouldn't die in space, but the text says that they were building it for their own glory. Right? So they were building it to make a name for themselves instead of glorifying the name of God. God didn't like that too much. So, what he did is he dispersed the people from there and confused their languages.
Did he do it in fire? No.
I don't remember there being fire in that story.
Okay. I just thought.
So, but you're right. It is, but it's a reversal of the Tower of Babel, because instead of all these different languages, like here on the sheet would indicate, instead of them having all different kinds of languages, how many languages do they have now at
One.
Pentecost?
One.
One. The language of the?
Jewish.
Okay, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's there with the disciples. And the disciples are preaching the gospel. Right? The saving gospel.
Pastor.
Yeah.
May I go to the bathroom?
You may. All right. So, all right. Next question. She lucked out. Chance. What did Peter preach in his sermon? Did you have something for that one?
I don't know if it's correct, but I said Peter preached that the 11 were not drunk, for it was the third hour of the day.
Okay, that's how it begins, right? So people were saying, oh, they're speaking in languages they've never heard before and they don't know, so they're just a bunch of drunkards.
He said, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only the night.
But look later in the sermon. Emmett, what do you got?
I put Jesus is raised from the dead, and he is Lord and Christ, and you crucified him.
Yes. That's what he preached, right? He's preaching to the Jews who just got done delivering Jesus to the cross, and preaches, Christ is raised from the dead, but you've put him to death. So repent and be baptized.
Right? So that's what we put, repent and be baptized.
No, well, hold on. We need to make sure that he preached the resurrection of Christ. And that they killed him.
Wasn't he speaking the words of Joel or something?
He's got the words of Joel in there. He has, basically what he does, and this is a little advanced, but what he does is he brings Old Testament scriptures that they would know and understand and mentions it in their sermon to convict them that Jesus actually fulfilled what the Old Testament preaches, the Old Testament that they believe in. Makes sense? Clear as mud?
Yeah. Okay. So the words of Joel is fine.
What's that?
The words of Joel is fine.
Yeah. Well, but it ultimately leads to them killing Jesus and Jesus rising from the dead. That's the heart and soul of Peter's sermon.
He preached the word of Christ.
The death of Christ. Or the death and resurrection of Christ. So he preached about the death and resurrection of Christ. And let me ask you this. What is the message that I preach in my sermon? Typically, the death and resurrection of Christ. Sometimes it's more emphasized than others, right? but at the heart and soul of what I preach is the death and resurrection of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins.
The birth, death, and resurrection of Christ.
That church year, right. You preach the church year, right? Everything centers around Christ. All right. So, what was the result of Peter's preaching? We're on you, Emmett.
Many people repented and were baptized.
Yes, many people repented of their sins. They converted, right? They became Christians.
It says 3,000.
And they received baptism. 3,000 souls in one stinking day.
All because of one dude who taught.
How many guys do they got on baptizing?
Wait, what's the answer to the question?
Many people repented.
Yeah, 3,000.
Was it only one or?
What's that?
How many baptizers did they have?
Well, man, that's a good question. I'm sure they got at least the 12 disciples doing it. Maybe more.
It a long time.
It probably did take a long time.
It took from dust to dawn. What was the answer?
Dust. Say they were made Christians.
Okay.
And, first of all, they were made Christians, and say 3,000 people were saved. So here's the question. How were they converted? How were they saved? How were they made Christian? The Holy Spirit! Yes. So it's not as if we hear something and we're like, oh yeah, like I believe that, or I kind of want that. No, it's a divine act. Holy Spirit works in us. We learned last week that the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin and then leads us to the gospel, gives us Jesus, right? And so that was the result of this preaching, was that many came to Christ. Through the influence of the Holy Spirit.
After
yeah.
Catechism, can I recite the Nicene Creed to you?
Sure. That'd be great.
Does the Nicene Creed have to have the meaning?
What's that?
Does the Nicene Creed have to have this meaning?
Not necessarily for communion, but we'll have to know those for the. Or do we have to know it for communion? Or the Nicene Creed does not have meanings, but the Apostles' Creed has meanings. Yeah, sorry. Okay, let's go to the next question. What promise is connected to baptism? What's talked about here in the text? So we're back here to Tatum.
Forgiveness of sins, like eternal life.
Yeah, forgiveness of sins and?
Eternal life.
And what does the text say? Look at verse 39, I think it is. Oh, sorry, verse 38.
Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and will receive the gift.
Receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so what promise is connected to baptism? Forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Salvation.
Yeah, salvation and forgiveness of sins are certainly tied together, yes. You know, as Luther says, wherever there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation.
Yeah, so like eternal life.
Yeah, eternal life.
I think Dad is at home.
All right, next question, Gavin. To whom was the promise of baptism given? Okay, to us, to everyone, but what does the text say?
To the Jews.
What's that?
To anyone who gets baptized.
Well, yeah, right. So to anyone who's baptized, but who's baptism for? The text says, verse 39. Look at verse 39. Who is this promise for?
For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself.
Right. So not only to adults.
Everyone.
But to children, and to your children's children, and your children's children's children, and
everyone
works. Everyone works. All right, and then finally, the last question.
Pastor,
yeah.
On what promise is connected to baptism with this past forgiveness of sin?
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
And to whom was the question?
So,
yes,
all right, last question. We need to keep going here, Allison. So, what next question, Olivia? What did the baptized continue to do after their baptism and conversion?
I was confuzzled on this one too, so.
Confuzzled?
Okay. So, verse 41. So, what did they do after their baptism? So, 41, those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added that day. So then, very next thing that they did, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer.
Prayer.
And?
Breaking of bread.
And?
Apostles' teaching.
And?
Fellowship.
And fellowship, right? So all those things, teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. What does that sound like?
Teaching?
Nope.
Church.
Church! Doesn't it?
So
should
I put
isn't that what we do in church?
Yes. So I put church. Yes.
So put church.
Okay.
And how often do you think that they had church?
Every Sunday.
They certainly did, but look at verse 46.
Teaching, prayer, breaking of bread, and what else?
46.
Pastor, on to whom was the promise of baptism given?
What, every day.
Look at verse 39.
Every day.
Every day. Right?
I got it!
So, praying, teaching, fellowship, and...
Fellowship.
Teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, prayers.
We gave each other the question. I needed fellowship.
Okay. What does this teach us about the third article of the Apostles' Creed?
It was about Pentecost.
Okay, but what does Pentecost have to do with the Apostles' Creed?
The Holy Spirit connects us with God.
Okay, the Holy Spirit connects us with God. Think about, well, let's take a look. Everyone got their hymnal.
Jesus' relationship with the church.
What's that?
Jesus' relationship with the church.
Well, yes, that's true. Let's open up to our hymnals that we have, to our catechisms.
Because the first line in the third article is, I believe in the Holy Spirit.
Yep, and okay, but what about the meaning? So what does this mean?
I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, and sanctified and kept me in the true faith.
So the Holy Spirit does what to us? It calls us by the gospel. It enlightens us with his
gifts
and sanctifies and keeps us in
the true faith.
What does that sound like?
Pastor,
one second, Allison.
Baptism.
No. Pentecost. It's exactly what happened at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit calls people to repentance and faith, right? So that's how this relates to the Apostles' Creed. He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true
faith.
Wait,
so what do we
say?
The Holy Spirit calls us.
So the Holy Spirit calls us. So here, I'll write it on the board. So calls us, enlightens with gifts, and keeps us in the one true faith. Calls us, enlightens with his gifts, and keeps in the one true faith.
Pastor, so on to whom was the promise of baptism given? Was it Jesus?
Nope, look at verse 39.
39.
Give these back to you.
Yep, you can give these to me.
Is that what we're going to do
today? Nope, we got another one we're going to try and go through.
Children, and for all who are far off.
Yep, that's it. You got it.
That's my answer.
All right. All right. Let's go to lesson 13.
Can I start reading this one?
Here, I'll read it real quick just so that we can get through as much as possible. All right, so Allison, lesson 13, put your lesson 12 away for now. I'll help you with whatever answers you have after this, okay? All right, Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Page 1613.
Lesson what?
Wait, lesson 13.
Wait,
Go to page 1613, Allison.
I feel more confident about this one.
Good.
I do too.
Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13.
Can I read first?
I'm going to go ahead and read it so we can get through it quickly. All right, so one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Whoever seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
There's a bunch of questions in there.
All right. Well, let's just get right to it. So what is this about? Well, Jesus teaches his disciples to pray. Okay, it's right there in the above there. So first question, we'll start with Emmett.
I know this.
In the beginning of the story, what was Jesus doing?
He was praying.
In a certain place, to be specific.
Yeah, well, and it's in a solitary place. He's praying alone, right? That's a pretty common thing that Jesus does, is he prays alone.
Wait, what it says?
He's praying.
It says,
one day Jesus was praying in a certain place.
When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples," and then he prayed.
Yeah, but the very first sentence says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place.
Oh. Right. Yeah. So Jesus was praying. Over here, Tatum, what did the disciples ask of Jesus?
To teach them how to pray.
Yeah. They wanted to be taught how to pray. Right? Just as John the Baptist taught his disciples. Why do you think they would ask that?
Because they wanted to know how to pray right.
Because
there is no right way.
Because, well.
Well, it's all right. That's what I said.
Well, that's. Is there some truth to that? But not exactly, because Jesus does teach us how to pray.
Yeah.
So whenever he says, "Whenever you pray, pray like this." So if you've ever noticed in your catechism before,
it's the Lord's Prayer.
In your hymnals or your catechisms, if you go to the very end, page 300 and
there's no
327, and there it's, if you go to the sacrament of the altar in the front of your catechism, and then the next page.
Oh, the next page after
where
the
are we going? In
yep.
The hymn, so daily prayers?
So page 327, you see the daily prayers?
Oh yeah, the morning and evening prayer.
So go to the sacrament of the altar in the front of your catechism, and then turn the next page. And then you have the daily prayers. Okay, so it says, in the morning, when you get up, make the sign of the Holy Cross and say, in the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. You see that?
Yes.
And then, kneeling or standing, repeat the creed and the
Lord's Prayer.
And if you may so choose, say this prayer, blah, 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 blah. Evening prayer. When you go to bed and make the sign of the cross, say, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then kneeling or standing, repeat the creed and the
Lord's Prayer.
All right. Oh, asking for a blessing. Whenever you're asking for a blessing on your food. There right there it says, the eyes of all look to you, O Lord, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Then shall be said the
Lord's Prayer
and the following. Lord God, Heavenly Father, bless us, and these are gifts which we receive from your bountiful goodness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Returning thanks. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever, blah, blah, blah. Then shall be said the
Lord's Prayer
and the following. So, what, in every single service that we have in church, what prayer do we pray?
The Lord's Prayer.
So, the Lord's Prayer is kind of important.
It's a perfect prayer.
It's a great prayer.
Are you a pastor or a preacher?
God made it. It was like,
both.
This is how
same thing.
I thought a preacher was a girl and a pastor was a boy.
No, not necessarily.
Lydia told me that one time.
Hold on. Off topic. Okay. So, what was Jesus' answer to the disciples? He taught them the Lord's Prayer.
And I put it down.
And so here's the thing. Before the Lord's Prayer were ever our words, whose words were they?
Jesus's
words, right? And whenever everything that Jesus says, well, what is it's whatever Jesus says is in Scripture. It's the Word of God, right? What we have here is the Word of God. So the Lord's Prayer is praying the Scriptures. It's praying the Word of God. So what does this teach us about prayer?
That teaches us.
That prayer is centered upon what?
Jesus.
Okay, centered upon Jesus. But what? How do we pray? Yes, the Bible. The words of Scripture. That our prayers are based off the words of Scripture. Okay? So you can pray to Jesus. I ask for this, you know, I pray that you would help this person, so on and so forth. Those are good godly prayers. But ultimately, the best kinds of prayers, are not that some are better, some are worse, but ultimately prayers always seek to be, asking things that Scripture seeks to give us, right? So in times of temptation, We just went over the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness recently. In times whenever we're tempted, what should we ask for?
Forgiveness.
Okay, forgiveness, not temptation. We pray it in the Lord's Prayer, right?
Yeah.
Deliver us from evil. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, right? So those are kinds of things that we should be praying for. Because ultimately we can pray those things. Why? Because Jesus has overcome Satan. Right? And we live in Jesus. Right? Okay. So basically, true prayer is anchored in Scripture. Put that. True prayer is anchored in Scripture.
Where? Number two?
Number three. What was Jesus' answer to the disciples? Because I can ask for things outside of Scripture, but that may not be praying, Thy will be done, but my Scripture. ANCHORED.
Thank you. I put when you pray, say,
That's what I put.
Your kingdom. Yeah, I wrote all that.
Well, and that's good. And
because that's what he said.
Because that's right. That is correct. He thought in the Lord's Prayer. I just wanted to emphasize that point because it's an important point. All right, so what does Jesus teach us about the importance of the Lord's Prayer?
Has Gavin went yet?
You can go ahead, Olivia.
Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you.
Yeah, that's right.
My hands are cold.
So, it teaches us what the Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, wants for us, right? And the help that we should seek from Him, right? All right, so next question. What type of family relationship does a Christian have with God? Allison, who do we pray to?
Jesus.
Yeah, well, how does it begin? Our Father.
Heavenly Father.
Yeah, our Father. Who art in heaven.
What do we put on
the right, board? So what we know is that we have, what kind of family relationship do we have with God?
Children.
We're His children. We have a Heavenly Father.
What do we put on the board?
It teaches what our Father in Heaven has done for us.
Oh, I just put what Olivia said.
That's basic.
Ask and it will be given.
Yeah, that's basically, that's...
And it will, what?
That's for another.
It teaches what?
And you will find, knock, and it will be given.
All right, next question. Who gives us the words to pray, Emmett?
Jesus,
right? It's not... Well, same guy, right?
I put, yeah, we give you. Us the words.
All right,
pray.
Tatum, what motivated the friend to get out of bed and give his neighbor the bread he requested? Was he motivated by love and friendship towards his neighbor?
Yes, he was.
No, he wasn't. His desire was to be left alone at midnight while he slept.
Oh,
he was being annoyed, right? So the text...
So he did it because...
He did it. He wanted to stop being annoyed.
Right. Exactly. It's kind of like whenever your sister, you know, pesters you, hey, can you pass me the ranch bottle? And then she keeps asking you, and then finally you just do it because.
Or you get in trouble by her
pants. If I was using it.
Oh, yeah. Right. Well, you get the point.
Gavin doesn't get annoyed.
Olivia.
All right. All right, Gavin, next question. Is that the same kind of motivation that God has in hearing our prayers? That He's annoyed with us and He just gives us what we want because
now,
to get us to shut up.
Prayers and does them for us without any merit or worthiness in us.
Yeah, that's a good answer. Yeah, Well, certainly He's motivated by His love and friendship towards us, not because of anything that we have worthy within us, but all because of what Christ's love towards us looks like, right? So next question, we might need to answer more in full later. So how is God's heart different? How is God's heart toward us different from the heart of the friend towards his neighbor? I think we basically covered it.
Yeah, God
Jesus
will
acts
get us up at 12 to do things for us.
Yeah, God.
Sitting for us.
God does act with His love.
Can I say what I put?
Yeah. What did you put?
I put God created us and He controls us, and when you are, and you and friends wait. And when you are friends, you can't control each other. What? I don't get it.
God doesn't control us. He gave us free will.
Well, let's change that answer to this. Because this is the point of that text, that part of the text being there, is that Jesus doesn't answer our prayers because He's annoyed with us, but because He actually loves us.
I just put what you said at first. God does act with His love.
All right. Emmett, last question. What promise does the Lord give to the baptized children of God who ask, seek, and knock in prayer?
Holy Spirit.
Yes. Yeah, okay, that's good. That's about as good as anything I had. No, no, my what I wrote is not making sense to me right now.
I said ask if he will come, see if I'm not answering.
What did you get?
It looks like Sprite.
Yeah.
That's what I
want. Well, that's good. That'll work. That's scriptural. All right.
What's the first?
All right. Ask your sister. All right. We're going to pray, and I got to go. I got to go change. Let us. We're going to pray the Lord's Prayer. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All right, before you all scatter, come to this table and get lesson 14 and 15.
14 and 15? Are we that behind?
We're very behind. Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
I really think church
right there.
This makes us rush.
Allison, you wanna say that to me upstairs while I change?